I'm Alan Collier and welcome to Community Connections. My pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. We've got an interview coming up in only half a second, and then we've got our legal hour between 1 and 2 where we'll be talking about all aspects of the law. And if you've got a question that you want answered, we can't talk about a particular case, but if you've got some aspect of the law you'd like to hear about, well, give Greg a ring now on 59 615 991 And then we've got an interview that's probably going to be a bit hard to do, to be honest, with and it's called Cancer Chicks. And it's all about a group that look after young ladies from about 19 through, I think, to about their middle 20s. And we'll hear more about it. They're more about putting the ladies together, the young ladies together. It's going to be a bit tough. But anyway, cancer's not good for anyone at any time, but particularly when you've got young people and young children who've never had a chance at life. But anyway, we'll talk about that between 2 and 3, and we won't get ourselves depressed because it's a very uplifting story. But anyway, first of all, I've got Russell with me. Now, Russell is a member of an organisation called Wheelchairs for Kids, and we're going to hear all about it. Now, at about 5 to 1, Russell will give you the connections as to where you can look them up, because, believe me, it doesn't cost a lot of money to buy one of these wheelchairs. And as you know, as we'll talk about it, they have them for years, and particularly in some of these third world countries, all they can do is, if they don't have these wheelchairs, they crawl around in the dirt and the dust. But anyway, I'm not here to tell you about the story, because I'm going to hear all about it from Russell. So, first of all, welcome, Russell.
Thanks, Alan. Glad to be here.
Well, I didn't want to steal your thunder. Now, is it a program of Rotary or a Rotary program?
Yeah, that is a very important point.
Yep.
It is a program of one Rotary Club, really, Rotary Club of Scarborough in WA, which means it's not a Rotary International program officially. You know, it's not a global program.
Yep.
Endorsed from Rotary USA.
Yep.
It's a one club program.
Righto. Now, when was it set up?
I think it was 1998, and that's like 26 years ago. Yeah, 26
yep.
years been going.
So it's got some runs on the board too, hasn't it?
Yep. They started by being able to make five wheelchairs a month, say, and these days we're on about... let's see, we make 3,000 a year anyway, so...
Terrific.
A couple of months of the year, the factory's not open.
So, are they built mainly by volunteers, or are they paid?
Yeah, it's
staff?
An amazing organisation. They have, we have a very impressive factory, fully equipped with engineering equipment, manufacturing equipment, and we have 300 volunteers who attend the factory at the rate of 50 a day. About 50 people a day are in there. They're rostered, they work on a roster. So they turn up to actually make the wheelchairs using drilling machinery and pipe bending machinery and all of that. Apart from the 300 that work in the factory, there's as many again, probably females really, who are at home sewing the cushioning and the straps.
Oh,
and
right.
All of that. And so there's 600 or 700 people involved, all volunteers. Yeah.
All right. So was there one particular person that came up with the idea, or did it come out of the Rotary Club?
No, there is a particular person named Brother Ollie Pickett of Christian Brothers. He had his education in Melbourne originally. I don't know the history exactly why, but in 1998 he was in Perth, and he had this idea of being able to produce wheelchairs. There was a Rotary Club called Surface Sunrise who were already making a few wheelchairs a month of second-hand bike parts from BMX bikes. And Ollie interested the Rotary Club of Scarborough to support him. And before long, they realised that using second-hand parts collected from the tip, basically,
yep.
and trying to repair them was really not a good answer. So they pretty early on moved to getting brand new parts, and those brand new parts come from China, basically. They still do, very cheap.
Which is fair enough. So did he design them? Because we're going to talk about the design in a minute, because they're a very basic design, but that allows them to be produced at a very reasonable cost, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they started by using a plastic seat, like they're actually a seat that goes in speedboats and that, a boat seat, a plastic yep. seat. And they put that onto an aluminium frame and a platform, and always did have a couple of big wheels each side. And they went with that one for about maybe 10 years, I think, and then they were lifting the volumes, and World Health Organization, I think, looked in on it and said, well, it's not very helpful to kids with a disability because it's not adjustable. It doesn't work to have a one-size-fit-all. So they stopped manufacturing for a while, and they went to an organisation called Motivation Australia. It's based in Adelaide, and got a much better designed wheelchair, which is the one that is still the one they have today, called the adjuster chair, because it has about, I think, 60, 70 ways to adjust it. So a kid can go into it at age 5, and you can lift the footrests up to support a small kid. But that same wheelchair, he or she would still have 10 years later at 15, 16, and it's been adjusted out, and it still
works.
Holds them. Yeah.
Just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more.
Mustard and stock. We've been culling out roots. We've been spraying the crops. We've been droving cattle up an old stock route. Now it's Saturday night. We pile in the ute. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Well, the dog's in the bag and the foot goes down. We're live members of the Outback. The bush come in from the scrub. We've been out in the heat. We've been loading the trucks. We've been fixing fences. We've been choking on dust. We curse the rain. We curse the drought. Now it's Saturday night and we're all in the shout. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Get high when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub. We're back in town.
talking to Russell, and we're talking about the wheelchairs for kids, which is a great project, and we'd like to see your support if you could. And it's not one project that's going to cost you a lot of money, and the difference that makes to one child is unbelievable. Russell, the first thing I've got to ask, or not the first thing, but I've got to ask you, do the wheelchairs only go into third world countries, or do any of them stay in Australia?
There's barely any stay in Australia. We know that they're needed in the Northern Territory. There are kids in need in that area that I think have trouble accessing NDIS and the like. So, but basically, otherwise, 99% of the wheelchairs go to developing nations. Yeah.
What sort of nations do they go to? Like, any idea where they go?
Yep, I've got a list right in front of me.
Sounds good to me. Let's go with it.
Like 70 places, 70 countries.
And there's about 3,000 a year, you said, going,
yeah,
isn't it?
This year, yep. I think, I haven't seen the final figure, but we were, up to the end of May, we were on 3,400.
True.
For the year. That's 11 months worth. And then 4 weeks ago, we had a big celebration because we made wheelchair number 60,000 over the years.
You've done 60,000.
And I'm pretty sure that means we made 4,000 in the year just gone.
Yep.
4,000. A lot of them go to Africa, yep. And that's, they all go to disability centres where they can be fitted properly. The wheelchair goes in a cart on, and when you open the cart on, it's in a few pieces. You have to spend an hour. The better you get at it, you'd get it down to about 20 minutes to put it together. But you've got to put it together, but then it has to be adjusted to the needs of the kid that's going to be using it. And so that's always done by an occupational therapist or a physiotherapist or a hospital maybe where they've got a department handling that. So those places are throughout Africa, Uganda, Kenya, Malawi, they've all got those sort of... There's an organisation called Motivation Africa. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's where we send them.
So how do you find out about some young child in the back blocks of anywhere you like? How do you find out about them?
Well, I think I'd be confident that Wheelchairs for Kids has a better network to be aware of that than any other... No government organisation in Australia would have any knowledge of all of that. But all those disability organisations have found Wheelchairs for Kids in Perth.
Oh, so they've come to you.
Yeah, they've, over the years. So we have a list of all the places that we rely on. We won't send them to places where it's uncertain that it would ever be put together right, correctly. So,
because you could, if they don't put them together right, you could create a danger for the young person too, couldn't you?
It can be negative for the kid that's going to live in it. If the legs are dangling, for instance, if the footrests are not supporting the feet, then that's the knees are swinging, and that won't be comfortable for. But we have. Like, we know at the start of the year where all of the year's production's going to go. They go.
Oh, do you? In the next 12 months, you know exactly where they're all going to go.
Yeah, all of this year was already known in January. And that's because they go out. They don't go out in a shared container with furniture or with other hospital gear. They generally, it's the only thing in the shipping container. A 20-foot shipping container has 166 of our wheelchairs in cartons, and they will all go to the one destination. So two a month go out. That's 300 a month. And we're getting, that's roughly 3,000 a year.
So somewhere along the line, apart from raising the funds for the wheelchairs, I mean, containers cost a fair bit of money to send too, don't they?
So that is the other big part of the picture. How do you pay the freight? Because so Wheelchairs for Kids, our objective is to have the funding to build the wheelchairs, but we can't also have as much funding again for the freight. So For instance, in Zambia, I know there's a charity that's based in Switzerland called Blue Spring, and that one wants to provide aid to Zambia every year, and every year we do, because they can pay the freight of a whole shipping container, we're happy to let them have, you know, the contents of the container. So we've got one coming up in August that's interesting. It's Rotary Club of Footscray is linked to a group in Footscray that from people from Ethiopia, and they have an Ethiopian community group. So they raise the funds each year. They do community things all year long. And every year they have the money to pay for a shipping container. And it goes from donations in kind. So it's got a lot of hospital gear in it. But the one this August will for the first time have, well, the plan is 16 of our wheelchairs in it as well, because it's going to a hospital there that we have investigated. They have the right skilled staff there. They've signed our memorandum of understanding that they won't try and sell our wheelchair, or, you know, they'll do the right thing with it. So that's how
things. So apart from working with those disabilities or hospitals overseas, do you work with any of the Rotary clubs overseas themselves? Do they raise funds to get them there?
No, I think the answer to that's no. No, they don't. We get a lot of Rotary clubs in Australia support. Because we didn't cover this just yet, but the cost of one wheelchair is only $275.
Just leaving that towards the end, but that's okay.
So a Rotary Club can easily, we've got a few in Melbourne that are happy to pay for $2,750 during the year. They treat it as something they're going to do in their Rotary year, and we'd like to make it easier on us. If many Rotary clubs would come into that arrangement, that'd be great.
But also, I do know, and you're going to tell us, there are other ways that you personally, and I should not mention Peter Clayson. Peter Clayson was a Rotarian, and a lot of people around this area will know him. He was down in, when I knew him, he was in the Rotary Club of Lilydale. He was the first person that brought this to my attention quite a number of years ago. And his son now,
Grant,
he's now part of it too. So apart from the Rotary clubs, which we'd love more Rotary clubs to put money in, but you and Grant also raise money other ways too, don't you?
Yes, it's by way of an event Peter and I created in 2013, and actually 2013, called the Wheelchair Wheelathon. In that year, we achieved ownership of a furniture trailer to be able to transport the wheelchairs. And the first time I used it because Peter was busy working that day, I brought it to Healesville, where I'm sitting.
First day,
I brought it to Healesville for the Christmas event they have in, they close the main street. The main street was packed with people. I still remember I did the wrong thing. I got these wheelchairs out and kids turned up and said, oh, can we have a go at the wheelchairs? So the wheelchairs all disappeared. I had 10 and I didn't know where they'd gone. They'd just gone up and down the street. But they came to the attention of a shop just at the Melbourne end of the shopping strip there called Fairly Cambodian. So the woman from there came to see me about these wheelchairs. She said, look, I'm connected to a disability. I'm on the board of a disability organisation in Siem Reap in Cambodia, and they haven't got anything like this there. The kids are just on the ground. So what happened then, Peter arranged that we could get hold of one wheelchair and a carton, and we went to some local identities named Joe and Maria Bast, who live in Wandon. The girl from the Fairly Cambodian shop came there. We gave her the wheelchair. She was going to Cambodia in January. It's all happened that rapidly. She took the wheelchair there. The next thing, they sent back photos of a little boy in that wheelchair, and then they wanted to know how could they get more. And so Peter and I, by 2014 in the March, we did a fundraising at the Cuckoo and raised the money. We raised about $8,000, more than that, I think, 10. Because the Cuckoo was closely linked to Maria Bass.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And, we got a shipment to go to Cambodia, and nowadays that place called Safe Haven Medical Outreach in Siem Reap is our agent for Cambodia, like our wheelchairs for kids. They have the right qualified people there to fit the wheelchairs.
Just got a quick break and we'll be back with more. Listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 24 minutes to 1 and 11 degrees. And we're talking to Russell from Wheelchair for Kids. Now, we'd sort of got off the track there, Russell. We were going to talk about how we fundraise, and we finished up talking about other things. But you do run a wheelathon, don't you?
Yes. So we created this event called the Wheelchair Wheelathon which runs, we run it, it's best at primary schools because we get the kids to ride the wheelchairs. At secondary schools, they're a bit too big to be riding the wheelchairs. Oh. So we, you know, we started by having wheelchair wheelathons that would raise a couple of $1,000s, depending on the size of the school, because it's about, it was about the parents sponsoring their kids to ride the wheelchairs, and it was all, and it, really the feature of it is that it spreads the load between all the school families. You're not, if every family was able to support their own student at school with, say, $5, that'll come to a decent amount of money spread over all the families. So we, you know, we started to get some events get up around, in one day, $8,000, that sort of thing.
True.
And then last year we had something incredible happen. In October, for the first time, we had the use of a QR code because the schools these days have discouraged notes and coin.
Yep.
They don't.
So we sold a lot of shops.
Yeah, so they don't want kids bringing in coins and creating a lot for the office to... Yep. Process because the banks don't want them brought in either.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, when this event in October, when we swap to the QR code, it's very easy to distribute. You just send a new, the school sends a newsletter home and they send a soft copy of the QR code. When the parents use their phone on the QR code, up pops information that they can. They could do anything from paying outright for a wheelchair, $275, or they could pay $50, buys the the wheels, I think, or it come down to $10.
Oh, I got bits and pieces.
Yeah, so we've got it all split up that way. So they can donate, no, they can change it down to $2 if they like. But anyway, the one in October, so we coincided with the school, a primary school in Frankston, called Dorinya, which is near Frankston High School, and they in September last year had a big new athletics track, a synthetic athletics track put into the school, and so they celebrated that by using it to run our wheelchair event in the October, and they set themselves, it's a big school, 700 kids, so they set themselves a target of $10,000.
Yeah.
And a week before the event, they passed $10,000. So we're, you know, we're watching this.
Yeah.
And then on the Monday, another 1,000. Tuesday, another 1,000. And anyway, by the time we got there on the Friday for the event, they got to $22,000 from one school. Which was, you know, I don't know that we'll ever do that again. But the, it was the QR code has created that. So we have gone on with QR code, and like we went to Beverly Hills Primary School in Doncaster, a decent amount there. They paid for a number of wheelchairs, but on the 25th of June, just a month ago, we were at a small school to run a wheelathon in, it's called Albert Street Primary School in Moe, only 130 kids. Mm. They got TV coverage of it. I can share that if anyone wants to see it. They got that on the Win TV. But they raised $4,000 and they paid for 14 wheelchairs. And that represents a bit over $30 per student, which is
terrific.
Which is a big amount, really.
Russell, I've got to take another quick break. Mm. But just before we do, when's your next wheelathon? Oh, well, how long does a wheelathon? Is it just at lunchtime or afternoon school?
It's all day. I get there. We get there with the. We've got two wheelchair trailers. We take 40 wheelchairs if it's a big enough school. We take the two trailers. And I'd be there at 8 a.m. and don't come away till sort of 3:30 because we give the kids 45 minutes, I suppose, at a time. They come out and they. We don't like them racing, that'd be a bit dangerous, so they self-propel and they have relay races self-propelling across a basketball court or something, you know. So it's not high speed, it's just an effort, and Yeah, it's usually a one day.
All right, just got to take a quick break.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 15 minutes to 1 and 11 degrees. So we'll need to keep talking to Russell about these wheelchairs. Russell, apart from the wheelathons and that, and obviously you get some money from Rotary Clubs, do other groups like Lions and that, do they know about it and support you?
Yeah, we get the occasional donation from Lions, but nothing great. But that's probably our fault. We haven't really gone, explaining to them, attending their meetings or to a club meeting to let them know about it. We get some sizable donations. We got a decent one from the Holland Festival, which is run by Rotary Club of Casey.
Yep.
We volunteered to help run that, Grant and myself and Grant's sister. We pitched in to help run it. So we did get, it's no secret, I think we got $10,000 share of the profits, because the profits did come to more than $100,000. They got 6,000 people attended there.
Yeah, it's a big affair, isn't it?
It was, yeah. And we'll be back to the same venue, the Caribbean Gardens Entertainment Centre, I think they call it now. Yep. It's all changed there. Yep, so, and another big one we get each year is we go to Rotary Frankston Sunrise Businessman's Golf Day, and we help.
Oh, yeah.
Help a little bit of the organisation with that, and that club really likes supporting wheelchairs for kids, so we get, last time more than $10,000 out of that too.
Oh,
but
that's
it all
good.
Goes into.
Because
wheelchairs.
Really, when you start thinking about this, you've probably got to raise something like $1 million a year, don't you?
Yeah, it's more than $1 million a year, yes. We are fortunate, we do own the factory in Perth.
Oh.
It was purchased while COVID was on, only recent years.
Oh, yeah.
For $2 million by way of a donation from a wealthy family living in Northern Territory who just thought it's amazing what we do. And they,
terrific, isn't it?
Mm.
Tell me, the brother that came up with the idea, is he still alive?
Yeah, brother Ollie Pickett.
So he'd have to be amazed, wouldn't he, that this little project that he thought about has become this big.
Yeah, so Ollie's a very humble guy. He lives in a home for retired Christian brothers who have been, I don't know, are they priests or ministers or anyway? And that's where he lives. And his whole life, you'll find him in that factory 5 days a week.
Oh, so he's there still working in it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrific. All right, we've got to take one. This will be our last break now. Get a piece of paper and pencil ready, because Russell's going to tell you, and as he said, for $275, you can buy a wheelchair. If not, they'll take anything. But we'll be back to talk more. Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're fast coming to an end at 1 o'clock. We'll have the 1 o'clock news weather, and then it'll be our legal hour. And if you've got any questions you want answered about the law, we've already got a few to be answered from last month, and we've also got a couple to send them away with today. But if you want, but we can't talk about a particular case, but give us Greg a ring on 59 615 9959, 615 9959. We'll get them answered for you. But we're talking to Russell from Wheelchair for Kids. Now, Russell, how are we going to donate some money, and how are we going to find out more about it?
Yeah, well, I think, Alan, the thing I'd like the most is being introduced to a school because when we go to a school, we can come away with a few thousand dollars, depending on the size of the school and the way they get behind it. So if people in Melbourne can contact, or Gippsland, we've got now been doing events and plan to do more events in Gippsland. So I think if I give my mobile number, people can just text me or ring me, which is 0414 600 721. And
give it again, please, Russell.
0414 600 721. Love to hear from any school, because it is a real good day at a school. The kids get outdoors and push the wheelchairs around in the, hopefully in the sunshine, on a basketball court or on the school oval. And the kids become really passionate about helping other kids, you know, in disadvantaged circumstances overseas. We have a comprehensive website, but when you go to that website, as soon as you make a donation, you will, using QR code, you get an invite to send a tax-deductible receipt, because I didn't really say that so far, but it is a tax-deductible charity.
Yep.
And so you get to claim that. But when you go to the website, that puts the money into a Perth bank account, so we don't know about it in Melbourne. So, again, I can connect someone to the Melbourne bank account if they
contact
want to
you.
Get in touch with me on 0414 600 721.
Now, Russell, the other thing too, that, and I know we briefly touched on it earlier, is that it's not only like if the young person gets this wheelchair when they're fairly young, it's not as though like some of the ones that are around in Melbourne and places like that where once they grow out of it, that's just a bit of bad luck. But these, they can have them for quite a few years, can't they?
Yes, yeah. They stay in that wheelchair until they're like 15, 16, that sort of age. And I think after that, maybe as an adult, they don't need the adjustable wheelchair. So if they're still, they would still be a wheelchair person. So they might just have what you know as a standard sort of wheelchair with caster wheels at the front, whereas our wheelchair is built to push over broken ground and push a kid to be able to get to school over where there's no roads and that in developing countries.
Well, because I was going to say that in some of these countries we just don't have the made footpaths and the made roads and all that, do they?
No, that's right. So yeah, we've got quite a few videos that show just how that wheelchair operates in those countries, you know, through culverts and through broken ground and all of that.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, the other thing is too, we should mention that they are robust. They're not something that's going to break, because as you just said, they're not going over really good terrain, are they?
No, that's right. Look, I don't know of any cases where they break. The chassis is a solid steel powder coated chassis. The wheels are solid. If they have some mishap with it, they are always able to get in from another country. They can get in touch with Wheelchairs for Kids, and spare parts can be sent over to them.
Yep.
But the countries where the wheelchairs are countries where they're familiar with push bikes as mode of transport.
Oh, yeah.
Standard mode. So if you get something on a wheelchair, you take it to a bike shop, I think, and they'll, if you get something wrong and missing a bolt and a lock nut or something, you know, the bike shops in those countries.
Well, whoever came up with the actual design came up with a terrific design, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. Last year at the Rotary Global Convention, you know, people come around and they look at that wheelchair and say, "Where did you get this?" You know, they just can't believe they want to buy it. They sort of say, "Well, what factory makes this? We'll buy some. You know, buy 100." But ours are all made by our own volunteers. Yeah,
which is in itself is a terrific project, isn't it?
To get
all those volunteers.
Yeah, and it's a mental health place. You know, because the people who go into that workshop doing something useful instead of sitting around watching TV at home or something, you know. So it's definitely seen as a place.
And the other thing which you mentioned off air but you haven't mentioned on air is that there is nearly as many people that aren't at the workshop that are working for you too.
Yeah, they're the ones knitting every wheelchair that goes out has a knee rug and a crocheted or hand-knitted knee rug and a knitted toy, and I manage to collect more than 100 of those every month, and I get them over to Perth by transport. We get free transport by an arrangement to get them over there, and they go into the cartons and off to the kid that's going to receive the wheelchair.
So they also get a toy as well?
Yep.
terrific project. I wonder if the brother ever realised that it would grow into something like this. Probably never.
I wouldn't think so. No, he'd have thought if we could make 10 a month or something. But it's way up from that. We're now, we're at 4,000 a year.
Yeah, yep.
But this factory, the volunteers who go in 5 days a week, they stop work by lunchtime because they can't overdo it. They would just use up all the materials, so they only make about 20 a day. But the more money we can get, they could work in the afternoon as well. Or another set of volunteers could come in and work in the afternoon.
Yep. So,
and that's the plan, to get it up to $6,000 or $7,000 wheelchairs.
Just here. So you did mention that some of these people are the disabled workers. Was that what you meant by it's good for mental health, or I misread that?
I think they're all a bit old, but they're not physically disabled. It's just something that it's a great atmosphere working there, and a team atmosphere. They have a great time. They always
know you're doing something good.
They have a break for morning tea, and we'll have people come in and give a bit of a speech. Talk about their life and so on.
Look, I've got to go, unfortunately. The news are knocking on the door. 0414 600 721. 0414 600 721. Russell would love to hear from you, and you can be part of Wheelchairs for Kids. Thank you for coming in, Russell.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.